It was 1 year ago today in a solemn assembly that we had the privilege of raising our hands to sustain the general authorities of the church, much as we have done this morning. It was on that April morning that I heard my name read as one of those presented for your sustaining vote as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. It became my obligation to stand with those living men who have been called as special witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. You must have wondered, as I did, why this call should come to me. It seemed accidental at times that I was preserved in worthiness, and yet there was always a lingering, whispering, quiet feeling about being prepared, about being guided. It has been our privilege this morning to raise our hands to sustain the president of the church. I count that as a great blessing and as a special obligation, for I have a witness about him. Some weeks before that meeting of last April, I left the office one Friday afternoon thinking of the weekend conference assignment. I waited for the elevator to come down from the fifth floor. As the elevator doors quietly opened, there stood President Joseph Fielding Smith. There was a moment of surprise in seeing him because his office is on a lower floor. But as I saw him framed in that doorway, there fell upon me a powerful witness. There stands the prophet of God. That sweet voice of the Spirit, something akin to light, that has something to do with pure intelligence, affirmed to me that this was the prophet of God. I need not try to define that experience to Latter-day Saints. That kind of witness is characteristic of this church. It is not something reserved to those in high office. It is a witness not only available, but vital to every member of the church. As it is with the president, so it is with his counselors. North of us in the Wasatch Range stand three peaks. The poet would describe them as mighty pyramids of stone. The center one, the tallest of the three, the map would tell you is Willard Peak. But the pioneers called them the Presidency. If you should go to Willard, look eastward from that little community and up, way up, there stands the Presidency. Thank God for the Presidency. Like those peaks, they stand with nothing above them but the heavens. They need our sustaining vote, and they have received it this morning. They need it, for it is sometimes lonely in those lofty callings of leadership, for their calling is not to please man, but to please the Lord. God bless these three great and good men who preside as the first presidency of the church. Occasionally during this past year, I have been asked a question. Usually it comes as a curious, sometimes almost as an idle question, about the qualification of one to stand as a special witness of Christ. The question they ask is, have you seen him? That is a question that I have never asked of another. I have not asked that question of my brethren in the quorum, thinking that it would be so sacred and so personal that one would have to have a special inspiration, even a special authorization, even to ask it. You know, there are some things that are just too sacred to discuss. We know that as it relates to our temples. In our temples, sacred ordinances are performed. sacred experiences are enjoyed, and yet we do not discuss them because of the nature of them outside of those sacred walls. It is not that they are secret, but they are sacred. Things not to be discussed, but to be harbored and to be protected and to be regarded with the deepest of reverence. I have come to know in this past year what Alma meant when he said, "It is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart, only according to that portion of his word which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. Therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth a lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given a greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until he know them in full." There are those who hear testimonies borne in the church by those in high station and members in the wards and the branches, all using the same words: "I know that God lives, I know that Jesus is the Christ," and come to question, why cannot it be said in plainer words? Why can't they be more explicit and more descriptive? Cannot the apostles say more? How like that sacred experience in the temple becomes our personal testimony. It is sacred, and when we are wont to put it into words, we say it in the same way, all using the same words. The apostles declaring in the same phrases with the little primary and Sunday school children, "I know that God lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ." We would do well not to disregard the testimonies of the prophets, nor of the little children, for he imparteth his word by angels unto men, yea, not only men, but women also. Now this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them many times, which confound the wise and the learned. Some seek for the witness to be given in some dramatic and some different way. The bearing of testimony is something akin to a declaration of love. The romantics and the poets and couples in love have, from the very beginning of time, sought ways, more impressive ways, to say it or to sing it or to write it. They have used up all of the adjectives and all of the superlatives and all manner of poetic expression, and when all is said and done, the declaration which is the most powerful is the simple three-word variety. To one who is honestly seeking, the testimony born in these simple phrases is enough. For it is the Spirit that beareth record, not the words. There is a power of communication as real and tangible as electricity. Man has devised the means to send images of sight and sound through the air, to be caught on an antenna and reproduced, to be heard and to be seen. This other communication is something like that, save it be a million times more powerful, and the witness that it brings is always pure truth. There is a process by which pure intelligence can flow, by which we can come to know of surety, nothing doubting. I said that there was a question that could not be taken lightly, nor answered at all without the promptings of the Spirit. I have not asked that question of others, but I have heard them answer it, but not when they were asked. They have answered it under the promptings of the Spirit on sacred occasions when the Spirit beareth record. I have heard one of my brethren declare, I know from experiences too sacred to relate that Jesus is the Christ. I have heard another testify, I know that God lives, I know that the Lord lives, and more than that, I know the Lord. It was not their words that held the meaning or the power, it was the Spirit, not what I heard, but what I felt. For when a man speaketh with the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it into the hearts of the children of men. I speak of this subject in humility, with the constant feeling that I am the least in every way of those who are called to this holy office. I have come to know that that witness, the witness, does not come by seeking after signs. It comes through fasting and through prayer. It comes through obedience and testing. It comes through sustaining the servants of the Lord and following them. Carl G. Mazur was taking a group of missionaries across the Alps. As they reached a summit, he stopped and, gesturing back to some poles set in the snow to mark the way across the glacier, and he said, Brethren, there stands the priesthood. They are just common sticks like the rest of us, but the position they hold make them what they are to us. If we step aside from the trail they mark, we are lost. The witness depends upon sustaining his servants, as we have done here in sign and as we should do in action. Now I wonder with you why one such as I should be called to the holy apostleship. There are so many qualifications that I lack. There is so much in my efforts to serve that is wanting. As I have pondered on it, I have come to only one single thing. One qualification in which there may be cause, and that is that I have that witness. I declare to you that I know that Jesus is the Christ. I know that he lived. He was born in the meridian of time. He taught his gospel, was tried, was crucified. He rose on the third day. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. He has a body of flesh and bone. Of this I bear testimony. Of him I am a witness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.